So I turned to page 9, sing feeling songs better. Feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. The devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. Let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Stand to our feet. Any prayer requests? Brother Richard Marlowe says Charlotte has cold and allergy problems. And she's running a fever. Let's pray for her. From Sister Esther, remember Clayda, she has a sinus headache and congestion. Also remember the family of Richard Jackson. They have 4 children, and his son Shane has cystic fibrosis, 17-year-old. They have to pay $1,100 for his medication. They said, just remember him with the financial and the healing. And then Brother Mark, a close friend, Steve, has a medical need. 3 doctors can't agree what's wrong. Let's pray for him. Brother Wade says, pray for June's mother in June. Brother Carly is having an MRI on Tuesday. And pray all is well. Sister Regina has a testimony.
Remember, I always say that he pays attention to the smallest details. It's a two-part. I've been wanting a chair for my bedroom, you know, so I can go in and be quiet with the word. So the last couple of weeks I've been praying, and I was specific. I said, Lord, I need a very, very, very inexpensive quality chair. So I was coming back from working a house with my girlfriend on Friday, and I said, let's just stop into American Signature and see what they have in the clearance. So we walk in there, and we walk and go through the few rows that they had. In the last row, there was a chair, and it was $99.50. part two of that is I bought a chair from them last year, and I've just been wrestling with it all year. So I sat in that one on the floor again, and I said, you know what? This does not feel like my chair at home. So I told the man who was helping me, and he said, how long ago was that? And we went and checked it online. He said, oh, it was a year ago in November. You need to go to customer service right away. So I did, and they called the sales manager. It's a young black African-American sister there, and she She got on the computer and she started doing her thing. I thought I had to find out my options. She says, your other chair will be delivered on next Thursday, the 22nd. Praise God. But guess what her name is? Lula. So remember her in prayer, because she stuck her neck out for that, because that was 11 months that I've had this chair. Normally they send someone out to measure the dimensions and then let it go. She really did a great job with customer service. So remember her. Her name is Lula. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. This, but the call lead us in prayer. Brother Wade is going to come up. Y'all can be seated.
You know, I told you. Whoa. Jeez, can you hear me? You know, I told you a few weeks ago that this is Pastor Appreciation Month, right? And that we were going to do something special for the pastor. So what we've decided to do is number one thing he's always wanted. He's always wanted a simple camera to take pictures while he's hunting, so we're going to get him a GoPro. So they're awesome. They're good. And they're very simple. On, off. Pull out the card, put the card in. Now we just got to get him to figure out which way the card goes in. But anyway, we're going to get him that, and also we are going to have gutters installed on their house. Okay, so that's the two things for Pastor Appreciation Month that we're going to do for Brother Dale. So I just wanted to let you know that that's what we're going to do for him. And he's worth 10 times more than that, but that's a small amount that the church can do to show him how much we appreciate him. And I've always told you before, the greatest way to appreciate Brother Dale is to live what he preaches. Right? For us to live what he preaches. Right. Us to understand what he's preaching and not be just Brother Dale's revelation, as I was saying downstairs in the Sunday school class. It's got to be your revelation. You got to go to glory on your revelation. Now, Brother Dale and the ministers and all the people in this church is just put here to help you to see that revelation, to see what's going on, that God's doing things. And you know what? I think we're in the right place. Amen? I think we're in the right place at the right time. Amen? Still tell him how much you appreciate him. Amen? Okay.
Rachel's Sunday school class is a special, and while they're coming up, let's sing I'm in This Church. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I joined on. Born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. I'm in this church. Glorious church, I did not join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. By His grace, not by my words, I'm in this church. Let's turn to page 61 and sing I Shall Not Be Moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In the lobby, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In His love I'm hiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be. The Boyd and Sister Monica's Sunday school classes have a special. And let's sing He's Everything to Me, page 70. He's everything, He's everything to me. He's everything, He's everything. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. He's answered a prayer before, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What are you waiting for? Just pray, just pray. Your hands, your heart, your head, and release your cares today. Just pray, just pray. Lift your hands. Today and forevermore, so I will pray once more.
Just pray. Just pray. I know God will make a way. I know God will make a way.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh,
my cares today. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
I release my cares.
Brother Benjamin and Brother Paul, come up for the offering. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for providing. And you provided for us, so we just give back to you. And pray that the pastor is we're ready to hear what the pastor has to say. Ready to hear the message. Pray over the offerings. And pray to bless those who give. We give back to you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Thank you for being you, Lord. Please lead us in your way and guide us every day, Lord. We thank you for everything. Amen. Let's sing Glad Day, page 530. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. The sins I used to do, I do. I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad. glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. Now let's turn to page 7 and sing When the Redeemed. Gathering in the anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing. Are gathering in, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, or the city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in, when the redeemed are gathering in. Washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing the redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. All we listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in, and we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in, when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow free from all sin, I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Let's sing Fill My Way with Love, page 28. Fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song. My way every day with love. Keep me close to the side of my Savior God. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way. I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Soon the race will be o'er and I'll travel no more. But abide in my home above. Let me sing, blessed King. All the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove. The song with the wild, with the song and the smile. Fill my way.
Stand and change the order of the service.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
And how do you want to see him?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
See him? We'll look into the word. Appreciate what church is doing for us on a pastor appreciation. And like Wade said, the greatest thing that you could do for me was to be able to follow what the truth that I would try to bring you. That would be the greatest thing that could happen for me. And, you know, is for you to just simply follow what word is brought that is the truth. And if it ain't the truth, then the next best thing is to come tell me that it's not the truth. That would be the next. See, and keep me straight. And so good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to Genesis 1. Mark's got his little baby brother up here with him on the front, so he's happy today. So good to see you, man. Remember now to pray. Brother Howell was telling me that Brother Boyd had busted up his foot, so remember that and just keep him in your prayers. And also remember now the fall festival will be on the 31st at Lula there at the ballpark, and the times and all, you know all of that, because we had to cancel it and bring it over. And
You better make sure this time you bring you a good hat and a coat and everything, because it's going to be cooler and all like that. And remember, too, that Brother David Gadman will be ministering for us the weekend of November the 8th. So keep all of these in mind. Ephesians 1 and Genesis 1. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your love, and your kindness. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being the one that we can depend upon and to walk in the light of your love. Have your way with each and every one of us and guide us. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts and guide us all together in you, Lord, and just have your way with us. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may speak what you would have to be said, and then open the eyes of your people to the understanding of what your word is bringing. Guide us now, and Lord, as we always want to do, make sure that we stand complete in you. And doing that, then we ask that you cleanse our sins, our thoughts, and things that would be contrary to you, and just help us to walk in the light of your love. Have your way, Lord, now. Come and just be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, whereat in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. What is the mystery of God's will? To adopt his bride and bring her into the right place, right? We'll get to those things later. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might bring together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that, now notice, that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now we go to, over to Genesis 1:26-27. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all of the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. It working now?
Yeah.
Okay. Get me all wired up, maybe it'll work. Now, you know, I tried a little bit this morning to just break something down in a simplified form to where we could fellowship together with ones that were had not been with us, you know, but this evening we're going to try to pick up and move on. And I knew yesterday, because I always know when company's coming. And you say, well, how do you know? Well, I know the same way that I know everything else. I know company's coming. And I was trying last night and yesterday to kind of meditate on things, which way to go. And and I couldn't get the right to go this way or that way. And don't worry about notes. I got enough notes to preach another 2 or 3 months on. And my wife, she helped me the other day clean off the desk, and we tried to get rid of a lot of the things we didn't need. And when she came in yesterday, she said, "You're piling it back up again." I said, "Yep, sure I am, because I want to do." But now, what have we been talking about? Talking about predestination made simple, because that's our whole goal of what we're trying to make it. And as I was trying to bring this morning, how can you talk about predestination without talking about first the one who done the predetermining or does the predestination? You've got to learn that first and know that, and that's why we were trying to bring in the one God and getting it in the line to where that we can see who he is. And see, I'm one firm believer in God being real, not just the thoughts of your mind or this, that, or the other doings. He's real. He's a being. He's a person. He's just not something just, well, you know, God is just a spirit. Well, that's scripture. But he's real. And it's not just dealing with something about being like that, because I like the way the prophet had to say it. He said, he's not like the wind. See, that's what we think. The Spirit of God is just floating everywhere. And it's just like the wind, you know. And he explains it like this, that he is omnipotent, you know, but he is not omnipresent. He's only omnipresent, which means being everywhere, because he's omniscient. He's not on the moon today. There's nobody up there. There's no need of being there, but our thoughts of God being a spirit is just like he just covers everything. You know, we're still in the movie forms of the, I remember one old thing there, what was it in the doings, but I remember it from coming on down, you know, about the guy, the great big guy, and he had a brain down here, you know, in the movies, and he was the brain, you know, that was the whole point. Well, is God just something like that to you, or is he real? All right? I know that you say, but we can't see him. No, but we can see the way he manifests himself, and we can follow that all the way through. And that's all that I've been trying to get you to do. See, if he's not like the wind, then why would he have a place called heaven? And he has that, to where he can dwell. All right? And as the prophet says about it, if he's like the wind, then why would you pray for the Holy Ghost? It just fills everybody. But remember, if it filled everybody, then everybody would be saved. Well, we know that's not true. So he's not just everywhere and all doings and all things. He's a being. He's a person. He's not just a myth, a thought, or an idea, or a concept that we have and all, but he is real. And he is, the best wording that we have is Elohim, there coming from the word God in Genesis, that it says means self-existing. And really the best wording for that is the self-existing one who is trying to reveal himself, because that's his purpose. He created us, right? Why wouldn't he want to come down and fellowship with us? See, everybody's wanting to go to heaven. Now, I told you that many, many years ago. I said, I quit trying to go to heaven. I don't want to go to heaven. You know why? Because God's coming here. Well, I want to stay here. Why me go to heaven? He's down here. I'd have to come back down here. So I don't want to do it. I just want to stay here, because according to all, it's all that's finished right here. You know, even the future home comes down out of heaven, settling down on earth and things, you know, Revelation 22 and all. Well, then why would I want to do that? I want to stay here. But he's the self-existing one. He existed alone. And that way, there is just one true and living God. And then that God began to try to unveil himself for us to be able to understand him. And as he did, then we have to pick up wordings to comprehend. And we were talking about this morning that in God, he had attributes. All right? He had attributes like Savior, Healer, you know, Redeemer, Advocate, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Those are the three attributes, you would call it, of God. And those attributes are eternal. Now, listen to what I'm saying, because this is what has to be brought out for us to get the right point. Even though he had never displayed the attributes, that has nothing to do with it. He had the attributes. He had not displayed the attributes of being a Savior, but that doesn't mean he didn't have it, because where did he get it? That's my point that I've contended with you for 40 years on. What? That God never gained any attributes coming this way. He displayed his attributes coming this way to where we're at, coming to where we are, down to earth to reveal. All right? Then he's always had those attributes. You say, yeah, but he couldn't be a Savior. Now, wait a minute. That's where you're wrong. You're not getting the point of what I'm saying. He had the attribute. Because if you wait for him to become a Savior before he can have that attribute, see, now you're adding something to God. And that's not true. He had all those attributes, as I was trying to say this morning, and those attributes is his thoughts. It's who he is. It's what he is. All right? Just like you have thoughts. You have, you know, you attributes. You have kids. You know, your kids, we're here with kids, and kids just got kids. See? All right? It's a display of attributes, all right? But it all runs back to the same DNA to follow it through the family, and you can chase it all the way down, all right? See, then God wanted to display his attributes. He had thoughts about being a Savior. He wanted to display that. He had thoughts about being a healer. He wanted to do that. He had thoughts about being Father, thoughts about being a Creator, thoughts about being a Son. And that's where we file up in trying to get that great Trinity doctrine of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Where's that in the Scripture? No, it's in what mankind has wrote of their concept. It is not in the Word of God. All right. Now, see, then we were getting down to that he doesn't have to wait. Now, get this point, and then I'll try to move into the thought. He does not have to wait until he becomes a healer to be the healer. He always was the healer. There just wasn't anything to be healed. He always was the Savior. There was just nothing to be saved. But now watch, by having that attribute of Savior, healer, especially those two, because that's what we're going to deal on today, especially Savior and healer, by having that attributes, then there's one thing for sure. There was going to be something happen to bring mankind into a position that he would need a Savior. It would be that he would have, that mankind would have to have a healer. All right, now how are you going to get that here without messing up the Word of God? How are you going to get him to here as being a healer? That means that something's going to have to be sick. Now, how can you have anything being sick from the eternal God? Don't blame God for your sicknesses. Don't blame God for you being lost. As I said this morning, my brother said, God can't condemn me because he made me this way. I said, he didn't make you a lost person. He made you with a choice that you can do something about it. And I'm talking to a Methodist preacher with 12 years college. And it's no joke. That's what he was, or still is. But see, he couldn't comprehend the truth of seeing how that God does things. I said, you made yourself lost. He didn't make you lost. If he made you lost, he couldn't condemn you for being lost. All right, so we got to find somewhere in the predestination plan to see what really happened. See, we can jump over real quick to the foreknowledge part and say, well, God foreknew that if he made us this way, that we would fall. That's true. He knew if he made us with a choice, we'd fall. And you'd say, well, why didn't he keep us from falling? Come on. Why didn't he keep us from falling? That would have looked like it would have been the sensible point. And it would have if he didn't have those attributes as a Savior and a healer. So by having those attributes, he had to permit us to fall. Not make us fall. permit us to fall. Let us make our own choice. All right? And you know, when we're coming into the world, see, let's don't blame Adam and Eve for everything. When you come up in the world, we're talking about that little boy and that little girl this morning. When you come up into the age of accountability, you make your choice. All right? From then on, see, you're making the choice. So then he made it in a beautiful way. I'll get something as we go on through the message a little more about this. And you'll see that it was impossible to come the way people think. A lot of the people in the message teach you come into the world with eternal life already in you. Well, I got the quotes of the prophet. Yeah. But what do you mean? I know what he means. What do you mean? Well, I'm just telling you what he said. You can't tell me what he said by one quote. You got to take the whole message. And see, we'll show that what you're doing is you're bordering on God making you. If you come into the world with eternal life, then he didn't give the other person that didn't get eternal life a choice. If you come into the world with eternal life. Now, are you seeing it? If you think you come into the world with eternal life, then the other person, he didn't give him a choice. So now you got God to respect your person. You've just messed up the whole Bible, the message, and everything with your quotes. Just remember, it's got to be in the right lineup or you're going to go wrong. Okay? Now follow it when we get to it. See? God's attributes are his thoughts, and his thoughts are eternal. He never had a new thought. Once he thought of the way it was going to be, he never changed that nowhere. He can't change it and be God. See, if he could change it, he wouldn't be God. Right? He wouldn't be God if he could change it. Because you wouldn't be dealing with the correct doings. But now, so what I want to do is to deal with this afternoon something that, and I'll use a drawing that we use back quite a few years ago, I guess now. But I want to talk about something. We'll read what the prophet has to say. But I want us to think about those thoughts and attributes. And think of them as being eternal. Right? Think of them as being, no other way could it be. Well, if so-and-so, if it had been different, well, no, there's no other way. You're going to change God's mind, and he doesn't change his mind about his word. All right? So now, listen. If his thoughts are eternal, and if his attributes are eternal, now listen to this point, then that would be, they would have to be part of God. I pause for you to think on that one. If his attributes are eternal, and we'd have to say they were, then by being eternal, that would mean those attributes, those thoughts, would have to be a part of God. Because he's the only one eternal. All right? See, then by being those being a part of him, see, then we've got to find a place somewhere that we can become into those thoughts being displayed that can make us eternal. Because, see, his thoughts are eternal. Now, as I said this morning, everything he thought of is not eternal. Right? This pulpit made out of oak, you know, it's not eternal. Now, one day God could make it eternal if he wanted to do, but that would take a creation. All right. Now, see, then what is our point? That this great eternal being that lived before the world ever was thought of, anything whatsoever, would be the word God, which would mean to us, you know, the great Elohim, the self-existing one, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Now, did you catch that from this morning? Yes. See, because that's the only name God ever had. Right. His name is Jesus. Amen. When he said, I come in my Father's name, that meant his Father's name was Jesus. Right. No, that just means he sent him down. You're just as Trinitarian as the rest of them. Forget it. He didn't send the Son. Oh, that's the great thing, ain't it? The great Father saw that man had fallen, and he sent his Son. He went over and he said, Son, would you go down and die? And the Son says, yes, Father, I'll do anything you want me to do. Now, that's two people. I don't care what you think in languages or what you talk about. That's two people. And there ain't no such thing in that. Would you send a son to die in your for you? Okay, you're standing out there and the guy's got a gun. He said, one of you two is going to die. And I look around Wade and say, so long, son. I'm going to choose for you to get shot. Now that'd make a good daddy, wouldn't it? No, sir. That's why I'm glad we've got a message that keeps things great. The prophet said he didn't send a son, he came himself. That's why he could say, unless you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. He came himself to pay the price. He didn't send a son. That wouldn't even be in sensible languages. So it was necessary that he bring himself forth into the form of finally bringing it to where that he could be the one to pay the price. All right. And see, that way, then you got the one true and living God, correct? And you're not a oneness because there was a time that he was manifesting the Father. And a time he's manifesting Son in flesh upon the earth. And then now Holy Spirit. That's not three gods, but it's not oneness either. It's each one of those being made manifest into the right form. All right. Now, so let's start something, and I know I won't get it finished this afternoon. I'll finish it Wednesday. But I want you to think about something. And I want to read now. I ask you to read or listen to the Christ the Mystery of God reveal because it shows the entire journey of mankind out of one message. To me, it's a marvelous message. It's a great masterpiece that was preached. All right? And when it does, it says Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Now, we read in our scriptures there in Ephesians that it was a mystery. A mystery to be made known in this day. All right? The mystery of all mysteries. And what I want us to do, and we'll read this, then we'll start a little bit and put up the chart because I want you to think about something. But I want you to just listen to what a man says, and like I said this morning to her brother, no, we found out her sister back here, she goes to a message church, but we don't believe that this man that we talk about was God or anything like that, no. If I was a Methodist, I'd believe God sent John Wesley with a message, right? If I was a Baptist, I'd believe he sent John Smith. If I was a Lutheran, I'd believe that he sent Martin Luther. You know, if I was a Mormon, I would believe that God sent that man to bring that Mormon doctrine or whatever it would be. Well, what's the problem with us believing that God sent a prophet to fulfill the Bible of Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 7, Malachi 4, where it says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. All right. Now, that's just what we believe. See, then we make no more of the man. But if I was back in the days of the Apostle Paul, I still love to quote what Paul says, don't you? Well, what did Paul say about it? Paul says, what? Follow me how? Did he say? As I follow Christ. Okay. Follow John Wesley as long as he's teaching the truth. Follow Martin Luther as long as he's teaching the truth. Right? And that's all we do. That doesn't make the man anything. It makes a great thing that the word is fulfilled. To where that we have an opportunity to have heard it. So listen to what he's talking about. And he's telling that he's wanting to take a text from Christ as a mystery of God revealed. All right? So look at, bring this on up. Let's just start from there. And let's just read this. And I love this. And then we'll go back. This will show the entire journey of man. All right? To the plan of redemption. And then we'll go back and go over it. So God's secret mystery. They had before, remember, if it's a mystery, then it has to be revealed. Right? He had before the world began. Now, how would a seventh grade education man talk like this? Because that's what Brother Branham had. Now, back in the back part of God's mind, that's a long ways back, ain't it? I'd like to talk about the front part. You know, but what about going back into God's mind? Because your subconscious part of you goes all the way back into the back part of your mind. Your front part is your conscience. And that subconscious connects into the soul. All right. Now, back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. And he had a plan, he had a motive in doing it. Now, he was going to achieve it. So that's as correct as can be. There's your eternal thoughts. Eternal attributes. He's going to achieve it. He had the attributes of being a healer. There would have to be something lost. He had the attributes of being a savior. There would have to be something, you know, I mean, the sin would have to enter and come forth. All right? But what was it to do? In order to let himself be expressed, made known, brought out into the open or revealed. Once. Because first, there wasn't even a moon, star, atom, molecule, or anything. He was God. But he exactly wasn't God at that time. Listen. Because God is an object to worship, and there was nothing there to worship him. All right? Now, that's sensible. Our word God means object of worship. So, there was nothing to worship him. He was self-existing. He had the attribute to be God, but he didn't display it. Right? Are you following it? There was nothing to worship. So what? So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. In him was love, in him was to be father, in him was to be son, in him was to be a savior, in him was to be a healer. And all of these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. Now, I wrote it on that where we can start on the other. All right? Now, watch a simple plan unfold. So, my opinion, the first thing that he made was angels. And then they worshiped him. And that made him God. See, once the angels worshiped him, that made him God. Yep. Now, watch in a minute, though, when we bring up the drawing, that you're going to see a line, say, in time, and back in eternity is where you're sitting at, looking at what's taking place. All right? Well, look. And he started from there. Started from what? The first thing he made was angels. All right. Now, watch. As in previous message, I tried to explain and break it down. When angels began to worship him, that was before there was even a molecule in the earth. Now, the word was the angels created before anything was created. All right, plain language. There was nothing. It was all darkness. There wasn't no sun, no moon, no stars, no nothing. Then he was God. And watch him. As he asked Job, "Where was you when I laid the foundation of the world?" See, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. See, now, where were you? See, that was way back before the earth. All right, now he's moving into something else. Because now he's talking about something else. Look, now God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. And that's what I want to speak on to the church this morning. The hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world even begun. And how it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living. See? Then you'll understand how it is to know this. All right. God's great secret of how. It's a secret. He kept it a secret. Nobody knew nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it. See? He didn't reveal it. That's the reason under our seventh mystery, going into your seals, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. Jesus, when he was here on earth, they wanted to know when he would come. He said it's not. Even the Son himself don't know when it's going to happen. See, God has this all to himself. It's a secret. And that's the reason there was silence in heaven, rolled up. In first place, a half hour, and seven thunders uttered their voices. And John was even forbidden to write it. See, the coming of the Lord. All right. You can go into a lot of things there, because what is the seventh seal? The coming of the Lord. Okay. You say, well, there's a whole lot more to go with it. Well, okay, put it all you want to with it. Just remember it's in there. Okay. That is his coming. All right. That's one thing he hasn't revealed of how he will come and when he'll come. It's a good thing that he doesn't know. All right. But watch. He has showed or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. Therefore, the entire Bible is a revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. And watch. And all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type. And expressing what God's great goal is. And now in this last day, he has revealed it and shows it. And by God's help, we'll see it. What? The mystery now. Okay. So God had a plan and a purpose. And he was going to see it achieved. Huh? Now, so as I said this morning, if he made a man lost, then there ain't no mystery to that. He's lost. The mystery is how you could make the man, place him in the earth, permit him to be lost, and then redeem him. Well, that ain't no mystery. It is. It's a mystery. How that God can do it without crossing himself.
Huh?
You say, well, he just looked down through time and saw it. That's good. That's wonderful. Don't forget that. But what about when you're back before time starts? You remember the quote we're always giving? Where Brother Branham said, in the beginning, who is this Melchizedek, before the eternal. But we can't talk about that. I agree, but we can follow it by way of a prophet messenger and see the truth of it. You see, we want to put, and don't forget your point, we want to put that it's all by foreknowledge. Remember, foreknowledge is knowledge before. Agreed. But foreknowledge is knowledge of what will take place here. See, that's why I was saying a while ago, you know, people say, I just want to make sure that I was in the mind of God. Well, Judas Iscariot was in the mind of God. Adolf Hitler was in the mind of God. Samuel Dale was in the mind of God, and so was you. But that don't make us eternal. That don't make us eternal. I made the statement 40 years ago. I don't want to just be in the mind of God. I want to be a part of the one that made the thinking. I mean, that's as simple as I can make it. I want to be part of the one who done the thinking. If there's some way I can get that eternal one in me, I can be a part of the one that done it. All right? That's all I want to do. See, that way I ain't got no problems. Just to be in the mind of God, I can be lost. Because he knew of every person that ever come into the world. Right? All right. So now, what are you trying to get to? Trying to get to a point of what he says. He said the first thing God made was angels. Now, he didn't make the angels eternal. Now, there's some parts in there that you're going to deal with And I'll give you the quote in a minute where Brother Brown said he made cherubim, seraphims, etc. Now, there are some of that that's eternal. Because a seraphim is the burner to keep the worshiper clean. All right? And ain't but one can keep you clean, and that's part of God. So there is some things there, but basics of angels, it wasn't created eternal. And remember, you cannot create anything eternal. I would like for you to explain that. How could you create anything eternal? As I said this morning, that's where people miss the new birth. They're trying to figure it all out. Why not just accept what it is? It's not another person coming down inside of you and there's two people living in here. No, I'm too fat. There's not quite enough room in here. All right? But if he can come down and make my soul, my being that I am, eternal, then God is living in me. And Paul's right when he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not two people standing inside of there. I know the quotes. I can give you them. Where Brother Run says, you and God together is persons in there. That's fine. Because that's right. Because if he gives you eternal life, remember, he just gives eternal life to you. He makes you eternal with him. All right? Is that simple enough? But see, then the angels, when he created them, all right, watch what he said. He created angels and beings and cherubims and so forth to worship him. All right? But now, seraphims is on a higher order. We don't have time to explain that. We've been through it. It's there. Seraphim is one that keeps the worshiper clean. So that'd have to be the Holy Ghost. Right. You can call it anything you want to and try to divide in it, but you've got to come back to that. But now, think about it. God's plan begins to unfold. All right? Now, watch. Go ahead and put it up. Let's look at the drawing that we made years ago. The reason I want you to just look at then what's in eternity. See, before anything begins, so go ahead, Brother Joe, and if you pull the drawing up, because we were going to use it today. But see, God's attributes. See, and we got a beginning, then we call it eternity. This is to help us to understand. See, you got Elohim, foreknowledge, predestination, chosen in him, part of him, name written in a book for the foundation of the world, right? Glorified in him, justified in him, sons of God, plans of redemption, seed or word, plan and purpose, attributes, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All of those attributes are in eternity. You said, no, this has got to, no, this is what became displayed right on earth. Amen. Right. But it was already in God. Right. That's only one eternal life. Right. All right? Amen. So then all the attributes of God, he had them before the world ever begun. Amen. Then he displayed them as he come down. Amen. All right. So now, go ahead and take that one back because I want you the thought. He can be a father before anything ever come into existence, physically speaking. He can be a savior. He can be a healer. He can be son, because that's one of the great things the prophet brought out. He can be a creator. He can be many attributes. Before anything begins. Right. Now, watch. He can't be a savior in manifestation before something falls. Are you with me? He can't be a healer until the fall came. All right. But he can be a father. He can be the Son, which is the Logos, the Theophany, the Word of God, because that's what the Scripture says. He can be those things before the world. He was a creator because he created angels. This is back in eternity. You say, how then could he create? The angels would have been eternal. No, that's where you're wrong. See, you're trying to make it just with your thinking. I'm trying to make it by revelation. Those angels were not created eternal because how could they fall? And remember, one third of them did. That's Bible. All right. So you're looking at something that's hard to comprehend, but I'm trying my best to break it down to a simple terminologies to get to you to think about something. You say, how could he be a father? Yeah. He had a son to come into being, which was the Word. Right? Which was himself in another form. All right. But now there was something else back there that he could be a father before the world ever began. All right. We're going to go through this, so you just hold on. What about the man that was created in Genesis 1, 26 and 27? What about that man? Now remember, the Genesis 2, 7 man was the flesh. The Genesis 1, 26 and 27 was a spiritual creation. Right? All right. Now that's how your morning stars should sing together and your sons of God could shout for joy before the world ever begun. We've been through this. We've preached this for 40 years, so don't get all excited. See, the Genesis 1, 26, and 27 man didn't have a beginning like we think.
Amen. Amen.
That's only one person right there. That person is eternal. So you know where we're going with it. Before the foundation of the world, before anything ever come into being, God just didn't sit down and have in his mind to create. His mind was already there himself. The 126 and 27 man, you've been over it and been through it, right? We'll go through it more today and tonight, I mean Wednesday. That's a spiritual man, right? What about him calls it a theophany? He calls it a soul. All right? Then that 126 man was put into 227, and there's Adam standing there, breathing human being. And according to blasphemous names, that he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
Yes. Amen.
Read it. He breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of eternal life. Yeah, but Brother Dale, Adam failed. That's right, but he had a redeemer.
Amen.
See, it had to be that way. It had to come that way, or else he would have been a respecter of persons. So he gave the first man a choice. Now let's get into this 126 man just a little bit and think about him. We can go through the message to find out he's a supernatural being. I'll be glad to give you these quotes. They're laying right here. He's in the image of God. Not meaning looking like God as an image part. You know, that's what we think of, image. And likeness, it says. In other words, that 126 man was one person, which is Almighty God. He just stepped over in another form. He stepped over in another form back in the beginning and became what we would call father, didn't he?
Yep.
He stepped over in another form and then became the Son to be able to create. Then he stepped into another form and just kept stepping down until he wound up in Jesus Christ. All right. You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, you're going to try to put... No, because we're going to put this up front. It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It's the seed or word. All right. Not this person. Brother Branham will say, it's not your being here that was back there. No, no. That's what everybody wants. And they say, you say, no, that's what Brother so-and-so believed in that seed and believed he was eternal. Yeah, and he had about three wives. So go ahead and listen to him. Well, he told some truth. He evidently told a whole lot of truth. Right? He wound up in polygamies and everything else. So? Well, now don't get in there with me, Brother Dale. We're not supposed to condemn nobody. We're supposed to love everybody. I do. I love everybody. I just don't love sin. Is that plain enough? And I'm just speak out against it. But think now. When was this 126 man created? Well, he was created on the sixth day. No, the flesh man was created on the sixth day. The flesh man was created on the sixth day. You say, yeah, but that ain't correct because you go 6 days and then you wind up going, come on, read your Bible. Get your prophet and let him tell you, man was created on the sixth day. Nothing was created on the seventh day. We fell on the seventh day. Right? Man fell on the seventh day. He wasn't created on the seventh day. But he was created a physical man on the sixth day. Because he's the highest form of all the animals. But the 126 and 27 man never was created. Show me his beginning. Come on, it's got to say it the way it says it, because it says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And you got to put it down finally into a physical man. Right. But just remember, whatever the first man was made, the spiritual man of 126 and 27. I talked to my wife about these things, and she said, honey, please explain that a lot. Said, we need it. I'm explaining simply what the prophet has to say. That 126 and 27 man never had a beginning. That's part of God. Or else why would he say, let's make him in our image, in our likeness? This is not the image and likeness. He came in our image and likeness. Right? This is animal looking. I don't care what you think. You're just a big monkey. Maybe not as hairy. But all right. But this 126 man never had a beginning. You see, yeah, but it says that it was created. All right, now let's get one thing on that. Would you agree then with the terminologies of the scripture that it says, let us make man in our own image? So never ever what the man was at 126 and 27 is the exact likeness and the person of Almighty God. Or else where are you going? If it's in the image and likeness, Brother Brown said, all we got to do is find out what God was. And we know what that man was. Do you need that quote? So whatever image the man is the image of the God that created him, because he didn't create him. He never created the 126 man. We use the word create. But we use it like something is not existing and all at once it's made. You can't do that in terminologies of God. Here he was as the Father, as I've tried to explain this morning. And then he can just morph himself into the form of a son. Same person. He can morph himself right into the form called the Holy Ghost. Same person. Right? It's not three different gods. It's the same person as he just changes his form. We see in 1:26 and 27 then, that would be eternal life. Before the world. Because we're going to read where the prophet said it was before the world. So you might as well get it in your mind that whatever this 1:26 and 27 man was created before the world. You might as well get that settled. Because that's the way your prophet explains it. All right, then we can get down to understand. I thought we believed in the body of Christ. I thought we believed that we were many members in one body. I thought that's what we taught from the Bible. Of Paul and his describing. Why does the hand say they don't need thee, or the foot say they don't need thee, or what? Right. Is that Bible? Well, see, then, if we believe the body of Christ to be a many-membered body, but one body, you know, many-membered people, but the one body, why can't we believe the 1:26 man would be a multiple form of eternal life? But yeah, one person, because if you got 40 eternities or one eternity, it's all eternity. Right. See, now get my point then. This man, according to the scripture, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, male and female created he them. Don't you believe that Eve, when she stepped into the world, had eternal life in her soul? Right. If you're going to believe Adam had eternal life, you might ought to think a little bit about Eve. Right. Right. There's your male and female. Right. You know. Now, we know that it comes over to the male, the female parts, you know, in the doings and what one's supposed to be in this world. Okay. But remember, this person was made male and female. Right. Right? All right, what does it mean by being male and female? What about a creation of the bride of Jesus Christ before the world ever begun? We got the quotes. What are we thinking about? What is this man in 1:26 and 27? He's a supernatural being. He's a spirit. He's something on the order of God. We just went through two services talking about God being real and God being a being. Well, then if whatever he created in 1:26 and 27 would be a being. But then on the day of Pentecost, it was divided out into a multiple form, right? The pillar of fire, the lick of fire, right? Came on each one of them. Each one of those lick of fire was eternal life. Each one of them was the life of God. Was it a multiple God, or was it the one God dividing himself among the people? Well, where did that one God come from to be able to be divided? He come from the Genesis 1:26 man. That God before the world, he knew what he's going to do. He said, now you're boarding on that predestination theory. Well, let's border a little bit. And let's think about it. See, I can quote a lot of things to you. I can quote what Brother Brown said. What about you even when you was a sinner? Don't you remember something dealing with you? And you a sinner? What was that? All right. But think about it. All right? I didn't read it, but in Genesis 1:28 it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So he gave this man that he created, this spiritual man, complete control of the earth. Over all the animals and all the doings. And Eve was right there with him. See, we want to make Eve a dirty dog, don't we? Oh, we like to make her. We like to preach that we're a porterhouse steak. Boy, but Eve was just a little old piece of hamburger meat or bologna. You know, us Georgians only know about bologna. We're not from Nicaragua that knows about steaks. We know about round steaks, which is bologna. But everybody wants to throw the woman down, right? You better remember the Bible says, not in Eve does all die. That ain't in the Bible. It says in Adam all die. Had Adam not walked out with Eve, there wouldn't have been no problem, except Adam would have run out of ribs. Because he kept taking ribs out to create an Eve or a woman for him, and he just finally run out because the next one would have failed the same way. Right? Because it was just a human situation. But yet we want to glory in all of the things and lay upon it. Just remember that before the foundation of the world, now here's where we're at, see. Well, Brother Dale, before the foundation of the world, it was just in God's mind that he made the man. Is that what your thoughts are? That the 126 and 27 man was just in God's mind? Well, I remind you, he must have took out part of that and put it in Adam. If you're going to talk about it just being in the mind, get the straight of it. This was a special designation, may I quote the Church Age book? A special designation of himself. The 126 man was Almighty God to condescend towards earth in a many-membered bride that would finally come forth. But the fall had to enter the picture. All right. Well, then you must be like a lot of these other people that believe we was up in heaven. No. No. And I think the brother might be a Mormon, but just think about it. I'm not throwing off on him. I'm just telling the truth about it because I know the doctrine. They believe everybody was up in heaven. Everybody. And then it decided to come down to earth. See? And that won't work. I'm not talking about something like that. I'm not into a pre-existence. I believe in pre-existence of eternal life. I don't believe in pre-existence of mankind in any form or fashion. Where are you going to put it? You can't have pre-existence. Because if you got pre-existence, you got God. Because only God can pre-exist. Simple. I don't beat on nobody or nothing. I'm just truthful. But I don't mind telling you what I believe because I want you to know what I believe. And then you can show me where I'm wrong. All right. But this 126 man, where was he created? And I use that word created. My wife said, don't use the word created. I said, use the word come into existence. Well, I just have to use it because that's the word we all common with. But when I say creation, I don't mean creating. I don't mean that there was nothing and God created something. Because remember, Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God, Revelation 3:14. Now, how he's the beginning of the creation of God? It was God in another form, called a son. Who is this man in 1:26 and 27 then? God. Not sitting aside in a little cubicles and leaving us that we could come down and he'd get one of us and plug it over here. No. Because his first time was 120 in the upper room. The next time was 3,000 outside that this 126 man come into being on earth. This is back, remember, as I was saying, back in eternities. This is what I'm talking about when I say I don't want to be what he thought of. I want to go back to the places of being part of him. People don't realize what they're doing with their predestinations and seeds. You can predestinate yourself clean out of existence. Because if you go back to non-existent, right? Come on, you've been with me for two or three services talking about what? Elohim means what? Self-existing one. So there was a time nothing didn't exist but him. Do you want to predestinate yourself that far? You got to find a place there to where you can anchor in Christ. Because the Bible says that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Before this ever happened, he said the Lamb stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus told the disciples that he knew them before the world and had fellowship with them. What is it in Jeremiah where he says, I knew thee and ordained you a prophet before the foundation of the world. You know, there was something taking place before the foundation of the world. That clock sure is fast. Something was taking place back there that we need to know about. Two or three services trying to get you to see who was doing what. The being, the person, how real he was. And now talking about not that he just began to think about us. See, that's where your problem's at. Now, come on, you agreed with me this morning, laughing a little bit about it. I do that to make you think. A little boy don't have to think about being a little boy. And a little girl don't have to think about being a little girl. That just comes automatic. Right? You don't have to be told. Right? We used to laugh ourselves to death about the kids. When we moved over to where we're at now, the neighbor there, we had three kids, Wade and Terrence and Anna, and we moved over there, and they had three kids, but they had two boys about the same age as Wade, one of them was, another about the same age as Terrence, and then they had a little boy that was about the same age of Anna. Well, that always created a problem. You know why? Because one day Anna had to play with cars. Right? Dig banks out, out on the road. It was just dug out and they fixed it and made little roads and run their cars. But the only reason she'd do that is where the next day, Harold was the neighbor's boy's name. Harold had to play with dolls. Because that was just part of doing. All right. Come on, are you with me without us having to go into full extent? When little girls get to a certain age, they don't have to be told to be little girls. Some instinct begins to work upon them. A part of them that's an attribute of their very person begins to come into view, and they begin to look around at the boys. And it's scientifically proven girls are matured about 2 years above boys. Whether you guys like that or not, that's still scientific fact. And see, that's just why the little girls, they start looking at the boys. And the little boy doesn't give a hoot. He stinks. You know, he won't take a bath. But you give him about 2 years, and you'll notice that the soap is being used. You ever heard a little boy say to the other little boy? He said, I found out. If you stand in the corner of the shower, you won't get wet. So you get in the shower, you know, and you take a bath, you get out. Mom, did you take a bath? I was in the shower. Okay. Make you tickled a little bit to get back to where we can think. Because I don't want your mind running too far. I want you to think. So this man that we talk about, do we call Almighty God? You call him Elohim, self-existing, Yahweh. He had attributes in him. And those attributes were a very part of him. He didn't have to think about them. He didn't have to make himself think about, well, I'll sit down here and think about the way I should, the way I could do things this way and the way I could do things that way. Because remember, he had to know that he couldn't cross himself. Right? So when he could write and say, Jacob, have I loved? And Esau, have I hated? Before either one was born, the Bible says. He had to have a way for that to be correct without crossing himself. Well, I got it. Jacob was seed. Okay, we'll get to that. That's good. Hold on to that. But just remember, this 126 man was a special person. And may I say it to where we'll get it, that it's not a creation like a beginning. Brother Branham says Jesus is a creation of, was the beginning of the creation of God. And he said, we're the continuation of that creation. Okay, we got the quotes. We can keep going, right? Whatever this man was in that was brought into being back here was exactly the same God. Or else, where are you going? The same God that was back before the world just moves over into another form. To be a many-membered body of Jesus Christ. Eternal life. But now that doesn't automatically give that to you. Just because you think you was back there. We'll get to that, so don't go too far. You come into the world lost. May I quote Brother Branham? He said he was lost and doomed and on the way to hell. And God paid the price. He never said he was saved all the time. Yeah, but I got these quotes where he said, well, always was. Keep reading. Read right above there. If you have eternal life, you always was. What? The eternal life that you have. Not you as a person anyway. Hey, if you think you ain't getting older, I'll pass the mirrors around. Right? And we'll quit passing the pill bottles around and see how we all do. Right? This old thing here is dying. It's got to be. That's where I read that. It goes all the way in Ephesians to the redemption of the purchased possession. That's this body. We've got to go to a change of this body, not get a new one. That's another denominational doctrine. To get a new bed. Oh, I'm going to get a new body. Why are you going to get a new one? Where are you going to get it from? Come on. I thought we believed that the Big Bang Theory, and all of what they tell about it is not true, but you know that everything used to be in one form, and then it began to blast out. So whatever Mars is the same dirt Georgia is. So where are you going to go get you something to make you a new body when your body come out of this earth? Mom and daddy ate you here. Right? So where are you going to get you a new body? Why would you want to do that? Explain to me why that Jesus raised with nail prints in his hand. Now, I don't have to say no more, right? Jesus had nail prints in his hands when he raised. He said, feel me. You know, he's still got those nail prints, and you in eternity, you'll still have them nail prints. Now, you tell me he got a new body. No. It's this body redeemed. The word redeemed doesn't mean that I drop my Bible and I pick up a piece of paper. I got to pick up what I drop. All right? To be redeemed. But listen, let me just read a few of these where that you'll have the thought, and then we'll continue it Wednesday. Go ahead, number 2A. Everybody wonders why I got a 2A, 2AB, 2BC. I write notes, and I put them together, and they laugh at my cut and paste, cut and tape, and I put it together. I'd like to see you take what I do and put it in your computer and make it come out. I invite you to. Because, you see, I'm constantly adding notes. You say, well, we can do that. Yeah. But then you're going to have to erase out all your numbers. Because you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, and then everything comes up on 1, and then you got to move over to another. You're going to have to rewrite. So I just put it A's and B's and C's and D's. That means I added it to it later. All right? So look what he says on questions and answers. Preached in 1957, 1006, the Hebrew series. What do we do? Well, my dear sainted brother, my dear sainted sister, before the foundation of the world, when God created you in his image, or created the man in his image, and created a woman in the image of the man for the glory of the man. Now what? Before the foundation of the world. So where was the 126 and 27 man created? Before the world. Where did it come into a knowledgeable thought instead of saying created? It was before the foundation of the world. All right? And look what he says. He made you a theophany. Yeah. Just like himself. When he said, let us to the creatures. Okay. Animals, let us make man in our image and our likeness, a theophany. God never become flesh yet. He was in a theophany. So remember my point. Whatever the man is of 126 and 27, he's the same material as the man that brought him into being. May I end the message with that? He's the same being. He just moved into another form. Amen. Called a body of Christ. Or whatever you want to call it. So if we're in the same image, whatever God is, we are. Now this is back before the foundation of the world. So don't get your mind boggling and say, well, this word, the image, what are you talking about? We're back before the foundation of the world. That's what your prophet said. Mm-hmm. Look at the next one. 2B, which is the masterpiece. And he's talking about Michelangelo. Everybody understands that. Let us open another book and read of the great sculptor, the Almighty, who before there was a world and before the foundation was laid, he had in his mind what he wanted. He wanted to make a man in his own image. He wanted to make something in reality what was a vision to him. What was in his thinking? But you say, well, it's just in his thinking. Remember, he always had that thinking. His thoughts are eternal. So he wasn't just sitting down, I wonder what I could do. Could I make it this way? Because if I make it this way, they'll have to go this way. He wrote in his word one day, he said, how can the thing formed? Say, why did you form me this way? He never formed us wrong. The old timers can relate with this easily. A baby used to be almost immune to sicknesses for about 6 months after it was born because of the great things God had placed within that child. It had its own immune system. Now it's not true because it's breaking down. You got the drugs. You got everything in the world going with it. But it used to a baby, it was just almost immune to sicknesses for a long time. Till the facts of sin had to enter the picture. But think about him. What's he saying? Before the foundation was laid. He said, well, he said he had in his mind what he wanted. Well, how else can you say that? Why not just say that he was sitting there and said, this is what I'm going to do? Did he have to think it over? And who, as he says, was there to talk to me about it? Is that where it is over in Job, where it's coming on down to the morning star saying, yeah, is it not there to where he said, who was there to give me counsel? Who was there to do those parts? No, there wasn't nobody there. He didn't sit down and talk it over with the angels. But they were sitting there watching him in his thinking. And I believe, I'm truthful. I said he didn't talk it over with them. I didn't say that he didn't tell them what he's going to do. Why not? There's a lot of difference in telling him what he's going to do and talking it over with him. You're talking it over with him, you're trying to listen to what they got to say about it. This man, so let's read on where we'll make sure to have it. Look what he had at this part. Look at this one. I just pulled this up to where we think. Go ahead with number 2C, which is identification, 1964, 216. We see all that is displaying, showing by type, like the whole Bible, God coming together with a redeemed wife, a bride that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Now, did he have it in his mind to have a wife? Or did he have in his mind what he was going to do? A lot of difference in the wording. He knew what he was going to do. He didn't have to think it over. Look what he said. That was the attributes of God being displayed is what we are. And now to make a character that could redeem this woman, it had to be something greater than her to redeem her. Did you notice? Is that enough? So let's read one more and then we'll quit. This is taken from The Cruelty of Sin and the Penalty that it cost. So then when God made his first man, he was a spirit man. He was something on the order of God or the Son of God, the Logos. That was the first man. Then he gave the man jurisdiction over to lead the animals. Now, spirit man, he was something on the order of God. Why don't you just say it in plain language? That man of 126 and 27 is God in another form. Now you tell me what else you're going to make it. God in another form. Because he was going to have his offspring. God had attributes to be a father. That meant they would have to be children, be involved. And his first son, may I quote Brother Branham, the first creation of God was God himself. Now that can't be explained, right? First creation of God was God himself. That's a direct quote. You can't explain that. What's it saying? Something else is beeping on somewhere. Short waves hit these things. Did God create himself? Or did he just step into another form? Did he just step in from father to be son to be creator? Because son is word. Logos, speech. Word. You remember that message? I was down praying one night. Had my hand like that, and every word I said, I could feel it. I could feel on the back of my hand everything I said. You know, the air breathing from you breathing out. I thought, oh, God, that is right. God just breathed it into existence. He just spoke it. And it just went out. But one more time before you won't miss it. Come on, musicians. Or you won't accuse me of something else. God never just created this 126 and 27 man as a starting point of a being. He just put over in another form what we were going to be. You say, yeah, but we wound up. Yeah, we did. We wound up being lost. We wound up being lost. Yes, sir. But that's part of his plan.
Amen.
But I'll say it one more time, and I'll keep saying this. Had he not done it the way he done it, even though he knew the man was already there in his mind that was going to come forth, had he not permitted that man himself to fall, he would have been a respecter of persons. Adam was the man standing there with eternal life. Now, that's what your prophet says. You argue with him, blasphemous names. Amen. He said, especially into Adam, he breathed the breath of eternal life. Why didn't he just leave Adam that away? If Adam hadn't failed, he can't condemn another sinner for being a sinner. But when the very creation itself that he made failed by a permissive will of God, then now he can't. Nobody can't say, why did you form me this way? Because we formed ourselves that way. We are sinners by choice. Sure, we were sold into sin by our mom and daddy Eve, but don't blame them. Come on, you get into all kind of doctrines and ideas of people saying in the message, you got to be born of a certain lineage. If you haven't been born from this lineage, you can be saved. But if you're born from this other lineage, you can't be saved. Now, I want that in the Bible. Because I remember a Jacob and Esau that your prophet said both mama and daddy was pure seed, right? And there come a Jacob and an Esau. That's why Paul said, I'm scared of your experience. You keep times and dates and seasons. You find it with lineages. He said, I'm scared of you. Right. Why? Because you want to run it back. I don't care if my lineage DNA run right back to the beast standing in the garden. Right. I believe in a Savior that come and died for me and took my place and gave me the opportunity to receive eternal life. But I had to receive that eternal life. Then that thought that was in God's mind could be transmitted down just like it was with Adam. Adam was standing there. Adam was standing in the earth, a creation. And God breathed into his nostrils. On the day of Pentecost, there was a bunch of people standing in an upper room. They had gotten rid of themselves and cleaned out their own thinkings and their ideas. And here come God down to fill that gap that was in them and made them eternal. Now we are the offspring of God the way he wants it to be. We didn't just become seed by the rebirth. You had to be seed or you can't be born again. But remember, it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally, but the seed. We'll get to those. And what do you got, brother? I enjoy these kids doing these singing and things like that. Let's give them a good hand. I do. You say, well, Brother Dale, we're going to get out of here. We may be lying here long enough. They may be gray-headed. And a lot of us gone because you can't say what you think you want to say about the prophet. Go ahead.
Wouldn't it be wonderful?
All right, go ahead, brother. Let's stand.
Wouldn't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear?
Anybody have a need?
Joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Wouldn't it be wonderful there? No burdens to bear.
It'll all be over.
Joyously singing.
It'll all be finished.
Heart bells are ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? Wonderful there.
everything, all things right. You just reach down and touch her, little buddy. And you be with him and you guide him. You touch him physically, you touch him spiritually. To make all things well. Because that's what we need in you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Go believe it.
Anybody else? Burdens to bear.
What about it?
Joy
do you have eternal life? If you did, you had to receive
won't it. Be wonderful there?
If you're born with it, if you're born with eternal life like you're trying to teach now, then God can't condemn nobody else for being a sinner. People don't realize what their doctrines are doing. You can't condemn somebody else for being a sinner if God made you a special person. Oh, but I come with this seed in me. What was that seed? The little woman at the well, the prophet said, had representation from predestination.
Amen.
All right. Go ahead. What do we got? Let's sing one more before we go. All right.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me.
It was Emmanuel's blood.
Wednesday.
Pray one for another.